Dr. Pam Peek, New York Times best-selling author and founder of the Peek Performance Center, and Michelle King Robeson, leading women's advocate, entrepreneur, and founder of EmpowHer.com, host the show everyone's talking about. It's time for Her Radio.
Michelle, did you read 50 Shades of Grey? Just tell me.
Well, I didn't read it. I listened to it.
Oh, so you did the audio thing. I could barely read the thing. I don't know. First of all, it was written so poorly. But it's really taken... good gosh, you've got a whole revolution going on around this book, and now the movie coming out and everything. I read this fabulous, I thought, a great blog on Psychology Today, written by Dr. Lisa Firestone, who is the Director of Research and Education at the Glendon Association and Senior Editor at PsychAlive.org. And I really wanted to hear what she had to say. And so we're going to bring her on. We're so happy to have Dr. Firestone here on Her Radio to help us understand this whole 50 Shades of Grey phenomenon and what it says about women's sexuality. So 16 million copies of it are out there, and it's not going to be just one movie, but apparently three movies coming out soon. And so, Dr. Firestone, welcome to Her Radio. Why are so many women into 50 Shades of Grey?
Well, I do think that for whatever reason, and like you said, you know, you didn't think it was very well written or whatever, but it, for some reason, it made women think about their own sexuality or sparked them or made them come more alive to it for some reason.
It certainly
all right.
did.
It yeah, but did. Why? What does it say, though? I mean, there's a controversy out there, clearly. It's like, is this just women having fun? You know, we're just sort of doing our little naughty thing. Or naughty what are the thing. Other pieces to this? You know, what's going on here, Dr. Firestone?
Well, one thing is that, you know, it is male dominance, and it is, you know, makes women maybe feel less guilty for their sexuality and for owning their own sexuality. I think really the important message that women should get is that it's okay to be a sexual person. You are a sexual person and to own
Amen.
That.
Amen. Amen. I couldn't agree with you more, because I think that's what the women don't feel like they should or they can. So it becomes a real problem in relationships. Why does sexuality, though, generally tend to deteriorate in long-term relationships, do you think?
I think partly because people get into something that my father, Robert Firestone, calls a fantasy bond, illusions of connection. And when they do, they sort of form a merged identity with the other person, and the person becomes like their left arm, and they're no more attracted to them than they are to their left arm, you know. Of course, they feel like they're going to die if they lose the person, because then it's like, oh my gosh, I lost my left arm, you know.
Right.
But it is a way of losing a sense of two separate people. I think we have to have our sense of our two separate identities. We can get really close together, but we're still two separate people. If we do that, we can keep the romance alive.
That's interesting that there's...
Yeah,
don't you think?
Is it possible to have a relationship long term? Not impossible. Obviously, it's happening out there. But I mean, can you have a meaningful relationship long term without that sexual connection?
Without the sexual connection, it's really hard. Even though sexuality is a small amount of our time of relating as a couple, if we don't have that piece, I think that we really lose a lot, and we lose that romantic love or that. Because part of that is sexual attraction.
I agree.
Interesting.
I couldn't agree more. Now, do you think the book is sending the wrong message to women and young girls? How do you feel about it?
Well, I think it probably is. Not because, I mean, you know, any consensual relationship between two adults where both people feel good about it can be okay. I mean, I like Dan Savage's take on being good, giving, and game for almost anything, sexually with your partner, within reason, but nothing that actually makes you feel not good about yourself, and that's the part I worry about. I also worry about the part about being dominated by a man, because that's such a part of our culture still.
Yeah, well, you know, there's no question about that. And the other thing is, when you say, well, you know, do you feel good about yourself in this relationship? What if you're a teenager? What if you're someone as young as this woman here, who's like a college student, in the book and the movie? What does she really understand about herself? Is she just, you know, does she have enough of that executive function to be able to say, "Whoa, this isn't good for me"? I mean, how do you parse that apart, Dr. Firestone?
Well, I think it's difficult. I do think that it is important for us to have a sense of our own real identity and a strong sense of our identity going into a relationship, to have a healthy give-and-take kind of relationship. And like you said, she might not have had that fully. I mean, certainly, you know, I think it's difficult in our teen years, but certainly teenagers do feel like sexual beings. So, you know, I don't think we can also tell them just don't experience that part of yourself. It doesn't work very well.
No, it doesn't work very well. In the movie clip that I've seen, it talks about, she says something to him like, "And I thought you weren't romantic." And so my question is, and I found that so interesting, that's one of the things that they showed, you know, trying to get women to come see the movie. But how much are we really drawn to romance, connection, passion, and affection with a partner? And how much are we drawn to fantasy?
Well, I think that a lot we're drawn to fantasy because that we could control. You know, in our fantasy about being with somebody, we're in control and we don't have to feel vulnerable. And I think a lot of people are afraid to feel vulnerable, both men and women. I also think that really feeling connected and having a real give and take with somebody, with that passion and affection, makes you feel like you value your life a lot and you value your partner's life a lot. And that leads to fears around loss. And so I think that's another reason people don't want to go there, and why they may result to more masturbatory or mechanical sex than really relating and being present. And I think that's the message we should be giving women and girls. You can be really present, and you can have a lot in your relationship, but you have to be vulnerable and take a chance.
That's so
well, I think
true.
That, you know, that is, Michelle, this is such a huge issue.
It is.
Because all these young women nowadays are really into hookups. And they're not really so much into the relationships per se. And so you're, you know, in a way, are you divorcing romance from all that? Sure, you're present, but you're not present for a bond or a romance. And yet maybe something like that would happen. I don't know. It's getting so confusing out there. How do you help us understand this?
Well, I think there's a real difference between sort of the hookups. I mean, I even had a teenage client talking to me about this, saying, you know, they don't, that kind of sexuality to her doesn't really feel good. It felt important for various reasons to do those things. But when she was in a relationship, she felt much better about the sexuality. And
right.
So, you know, I think we still, you know, that may be the culture of now for young people, but I don't think it makes them feel very good. I think what really gives us satisfaction as human beings is having that real give and take on a more vulnerable level where we're in real contact with the other person. And it's personal.
It has
I love
to be
it.
Personal. I mean, it does, Pam,
yeah.
Because even at my stage in life, being single, quite honestly, you know, the vulnerability piece is a huge factor because we've been hurt. We've been through divorces. We've had bad relationships. And so we don't want to be vulnerable. That's really hard for us to do. So I can see that being a huge piece for across the board for all women.
Yeah,
oh, I don't think there's
having,
any question.
Having those walls up makes it really difficult to get close, you know?
Yes, exactly.
And yeah, even though they're based on real hurt, I mean, we don't defend ourselves for no reason, but it you know, it's interesting because we're going to be doing an e-course on becoming your true self,
right.
And part of our idea
right.
is, you know, how do you get in touch with what's really you? What's your own
yeah.
real identity? What have you picked up from society about how you should be?
Well,
maybe
you know what
like
you've
this?
Done for us? Well, what you've done for us, Dr. Firestone, is help us understand what 50 Shades of Grey really says about women's sexuality. Everyone, this is Lisa Firestone. Dr. Firestone's website is psychalive.org, and she's helped us understand what this whole phenomenon of 50 Shades of Grey is really all about. Thank you very much, Dr. Firestone. I'm Dr. Pam Peek with Michelle King Robeson.
You're listening to Her Radio on Radio MD. Follow us on Twitter, like us on Facebook. Stay well.